It was some years ago when our pastor at the time, Pastor Kevin of Berean Church in Gwinnett, he did this annual thing. I want to say it was annual, where we had to literally kind of do an evaluation of our faith. And I was shocked by that. I was like, what in the world are we doing? And he was very serious. He wanted to see where were we by the end of the year. Well, did we know certain scriptures, more scriptures? Did we spend more time praying? Did we spend, like, I can't remember all the questions, but it was so unique and refreshing because as someone who's been in church, talked to other church people, coming from different denominations, all those other things, I never heard that. Now, I'm pretty sure there are some pastors out there who really do encourage their churchgoers, their church members to evaluate themselves. But have you thought about evaluating yourself? Because when we evaluate ourselves, we can take a look and say, oh my goodness, my faith is getting stronger or I'm getting weaker. There used to be a childhood song that we would sing during vacation Bible study. And it says, read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. Grow, 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 grow. And it says, neglect your Bible, don't ever pray, and you shrink, shrink, shrink. Ever thought about really evaluating yourself to see if your faith is stronger or weaker? Let's talk. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm so thankful that you are here. This is Jennifer Jefferson. I'm the voice behind Conquer Me podcast. Over here, we talk about the joys of developing a personal relationship with Jesus, okay? Because we need to understand that our walk with Christ is ongoing. It's a relationship. Just like any other relationship, you have to put time in. You have to water it. Right? You have to make sure that you're spending that time with the person. You're intentional. You understand what that person likes and does not like. I'm blessed to say that this year, my husband and I are coming up on 20 years of marriage. And I'm like, man, that is so amazing. And it's nothing but God. One thing that we have made sure we kept God center, not only in our individual lives, but also kept God center in our marriage. Because I have realized that there's a lot of Christian couples, but they don't have a Christian marriage. And what do I mean by that? They will, you know, they believe in the Lord and let's say individually, they're like, okay, I'm going to do what I need to do. But that marriage piece, they haven't had God in the center and they may have not worked on specific things within regarding their marriage, right? They may work on individual things, maybe their career, eating, physical, all whatever, you know, I want to read more. God, you told me to read more scripture so that I can be a better example to women or men, you know, whatever the case is. But when it comes to that partner, because when we really take time to look at our partner, we will see some reflection of us. Then we have to take time to evaluate ourselves. A question I do ask often to my husband, when I say often, I'll say maybe like every few months. Okay. Look, it's not like I'm asking every day, but one question I will ask him is, what are the areas I can improve within our marriage? Like, what is it that you need from me? And my husband, he's a super chill dude. He's like, but you know, it's good. I'm all right. I'm like, but I just want to make sure. I don't want things to not be said, because he really doesn't address a lot of things until it comes up, or he just kind of push things under the rug, you know? And so for me, I am aware that I'm more of a person who likes to address things immediately. My husband said, I'm not confrontational. He said I'm confrontational, but I'm like, dang, that sounds so negative. I'm just one of those people to where it's like, okay, if there's something going on, let's talk about it. Like, we don't need to not address it because it doesn't help anything. And I have no problem with you giving me feedback because I'm not going to sit here and act like I am perfect. Lord knows I'm nowhere near perfect. But if I want for my relationship to grow, if I want for certain things to grow, it's just like if you're on a job, you have your annual review, all of these things to where your supervisor will say, hey, you're great at this and this and this and this, but this is an area where I see you can improve on. Have you ever thought about doing that spiritually? Have you? As we are ending this season, talking about breaking cycles, one of the ways for us to make sure that things are broken, you know, I've talked tremendously about renewing your mind. We have to make sure that when old patterns come up, things that are trying to keep us in the cycle, we are aware of it and we know how to address it. So I want to start off with, this is kind of going to be our anchoring passages of scripture. And it's coming from 2 Peter 1:5-10. And it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. To add. So that lets us know there's some intentionality there, right? For this very reason. You know what? Let's start off at verse 1. I want to go back a little bit. Let's start there. We're going to do verse 1-10 so that we can really see what is happening and you all really understand what is going on. And if you have your Bibles, I would love for you to pull it out. I would love for you to pull it out and read with me. And I'm going to read the NLT version. Okay, so it says, greetings from Paul. This letter is from Simon Peter. I'm sorry, not Paul, but Peter. Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and the fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. That's why I wanted to go back a little bit, because there's always some more information that we can obtain whenever reading scriptures. But I want to understand why verse 5 started off the way it is, because he was number one addressing the fact that our precious faith, it comes from Jesus. Number one, our God and our Savior. Our God and our Savior. Then it goes into verse 2, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow. So one of the examples that I gave earlier was, well, like, you know, if you're on your job and your supervisor, and hopefully you have a fair supervisor, or if you are the supervisor, you understand the importance of monitoring how people move. What are their skill sets? What are they good at? What do they need to improve on? Why do we need to know this? Because if I understand where my weak areas are, I understand where I need to be strengthened. But the question in what I have noticed, we don't take enough stock within our own individual walk with Christ. One of the, what I said earlier was the song that we sung in Vocation Bible School. And it says, read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow. But the thing is, how do we know that we're growing? And from this passage of scripture, Peter is encouraging us that may you get more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Here's the thing. How do I know if I'm growing in the knowledge of God? I can understand more of his voice, less of my voice, more of his thinking and less of my thinking. Sometimes there's been moments in my life to where I'm like, oh my gosh, Jennifer, you would have responded like this, or you used to think like this, or you used to struggle with this. Now you don't, because I've been praying and I've been in the word and I've been asking God to give me his mindset. Verse 3 says this, but his divine power, God has given us everything we need, everything, listen, So for all of us that struggle with, oh, I don't have this, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. What does that mean? That is talking about here on earth. That is not talking about when we die and we go see Jesus and we're in heaven. And no, God has given us all that we need here on earth. But before that, he is encouraging us to grow in our knowledge of God. Some of the areas where we think we are lacking, the question is, what does God say? What does the word of God say? Let's continue in verse 3. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by the means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Verse 4, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature, escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Verse 5, in view of all of this, that's why I wanted to read all of that. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Make every effort to respond to God's promises. It doesn't say make every effort to respond to the negativity, to the evils of this world, to the foolishness of the person that's in your family. None of that stuff. To make every effort to respond to God's promises. We know that according to scripture, God's promises are yes and amen. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. This is why I encourage us to be in the word of God. Isn't that something? Peter is encouraging us to focus and have our response to be about God's promises. Now, he does also teach for us to be aware of the schemes of the enemy. So we don't need to be blind and ignorant. We need to be aware. But the focus has to be on Christ. It has to be, and I'm going to say this, it has to be more than just, he is my savior. We thank God for that. But I have seen a lot of people kind of stop there. We're like, I know that Jesus saved me from sin. Praise God. Now what? Who else is he? What are the other promises? What does that communication look like? And it says this, and I'm going to continue with this. In effort to respond to God's promises, supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection with love for everyone. I'm reading this, and I hope as you're listening to me, you understand the evaluation, the importance of evaluating yourself, because it needs to start within you. And or before you can really be there for other people, you have to make sure that you are strengthening your faith, that you understand what God's moral excellence is. What does that barometer look like? Because a lot of the things that we are doing for others and how we are living, because it's based off of our knowledge, not the knowledge of God. There is a great, I don't know if he calls himself an apologetic. And for me, apologetics are just evangelists. They're out here preaching and teaching the word of God, and they may do it in a way to where they challenge people, which I believe is wonderful. You know, I'm not really too big on the separation when it comes to titles within the body of Christ, but I understand where it all comes from, right? I think his name is David. I cannot think of his last name, but he's an older white gentleman, and he goes to college campuses. And as he goes to college campuses, he is literally allowing the kids to ask whatever questions that they can ask. And I look at people like themselves, I like him and so many people who are out here debating or people who serve and whatever. He was talking to, there's been several videos of him talking to college students, and they're like, well, I don't believe in God. And because of this and this, and they went into this whole thing of why they don't believe in God, why they don't believe in Jesus. Even if they do believe in, they may say, I believe in God, I just don't believe in Jesus, all these other types of things, right? So they're going on this stuff. And what he says what they always say, which is interesting, is, I just believe that we should be a good person. And his response is, how do you know what is a good person? What is your measuring stick? And they just all kind of ponder like, well, and you know, some come up with an answer. Some are like, well, I really don't know. And his whole point is, you cannot determine what is good without God, because we know that God is good. I cannot determine or understand service or how to serve people if I do not know what God's moral excellence is. And then that comes with his knowledge. And that knowledge, now that I have knowledge, I'm able to walk in a level of self-control because God is disciplining me. The Holy Spirit is disciplining me. I'm actually making efforts and plans to partner with God so that I can become this disciplined person. And now that I'm having patience for endurance, because here's the truth. Anytime that we are really actively trying to grow in anything, you better believe that discipline is going to challenge your endurance. It is going to challenge your endurance. But I love how it says patient endurance. So that means that I have to be okay with it being slow. I have to be okay with my ideas not always being heard. I have to be okay with flesh dying. I have to be okay with being frustrated and letting it go because I'm growing in God. It is what it is. But then also with this, with patient endurance, here comes godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. Brotherly affection with the love for everyone. Love for everyone. What scripture tells us to love our enemies and pray for our enemies. It is hard to do that if you have not taken time to spiritually grow. If you have not taken time to evaluate what is in your heart and your mind. You cannot, and it's hard to love somebody who has mistreated you and they've done you wrong and whatever, and truly want the best for them if you do not have a mature faith in God. When we evaluate ourselves, we are literally asking God to mature us. The pastor said the other week, he said, God wants mature children, not baby children. There's a lot of children of God who are still infants, struggling with the same thing. We're not identifying our patterns because we're not taking time to evaluate. We don't want to be self-aware. We're self-aware about when this person triggers us, but are we self-aware about what we do to others? Are we self-aware about that? I was teasing my husband, and he doesn't mind me using him as an example. I was talking to my husband, and one day he was just kind of real snippy. And, you know, my husband's a pretty chill guy, just a real happy guy. And I was like, it was just a simple question, and it turned into something else. And I was like, whoa, like you're kind of dumping on me. And his dump is never a loud dump. It's not a long dump, but it's dump. It's just like, he's just, I like to call him stubborn. He's a quiet stubborn. He used to be, I would say that, because we have both matured tremendously over the years. But he would, I said, honey, you know, you get in these moments sometimes where you get kind of just picky. You just want to pick and you're not being kind. I said, I don't understand what's happening. And I said, I don't like that. When I'm just trying to ask you a simple question or whatever, you come back simple. And I said, now here's the thing. If you're having a grumpy day, that's fine, but it still doesn't give you a right to dump on me. I am truly a believer. You can go through a lot of things in life, but it does not justify you being rude to other people. And I try to make sure I have that same effort. So I will tell my family, it's like, I'm like, look, I mean, I'm not in the best mood right now. So I'm a little fussy and grumpy. Please give me a moment to breathe. And it's so funny. Every time after I release that, I say it, I start laughing and I'm like, Jennifer, what you really upset about? Nothing. When you really think of it. But I was telling him that. And I said, I don't know what's going on. And he didn't see it. And then he walked away and he sat down and he was like, he said, am I being like that? He said, he had to really think about it, which I do appreciate because that alone is growth for my husband. And so he really think about it. And he said, you know what, babe, I didn't mean to, and I'm sorry for it. And I do appreciate him apologizing. And he said, I apologize because I realized, you know what, I've been in pain all day and my husband does not like being in pain. See, I didn't know he was in pain. When I know he's in pain, I just kind of tell him, look, you go over there. I try to make sure I give him something because he really doesn't like to take stuff. So I'm just like, babe, please. Because you get a little attitude-y. You get a little, it's like he's just fussing about nothing. And his presence is, he has a very strong presence. So anytime he says anything, like we all feel it in the house. And so when I said, I appreciate it, and I kind of chuckled and I was like, boy, you can't stand pain for nothing. But in that moment, he took it and he evaluated himself and said, why am I doing this? Oh, because I'm not in the best pain. My back is bothering me. This is bothering me, whatever like that. And I don't like it. And I'm being snippy with Jennifer, blah, 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 blah. So now the thing is, he's aware of it. So when moments like this happen, now we have to have a different solution because you just venting and giving things and being mean or whatever. And he wasn't intentional. I always know that my husband, because he's not his character. He's not an intentional, rude person. But when he has these moments, I always ask him, like, what's going on? I need you to figure out what's going on, why you're doing this. Because in our marriage, we've made a very clear declaration that we will not just dump on each other. I won't dump on him and he won't dump on me. We're not doing that. We are not each other's trash cans. We are each other's partners. We love each other and we're going to build each other up. That's what we're going to do. But we're not going to sit here and act like we are each other's garbage pan. We're not going to do that. Right. And so in these moments, he had to evaluate himself. And so I said, honey, just whatever those times come, I say, just pray about, like, you know, when it's happening and ask God for strength. Or I said, or just tell me. And then I know, okay, you know, he's just not in the best mood because he's in pain, because he doesn't like to show his pain. So how am I supposed to know that he wasn't in pain? He's just standing there and I'm just like, I didn't know you were in pain, right? We have to be okay with evaluating ourselves, and we have to be open to the loved one around us to speak the truth. When you are rejecting something that someone is telling you over and over and over and over. I'm not talking about when people are just being mean. Like they say to you, oh, you're stupid. No. That's being mean. But if someone says to you, hey, you know, you tend to procrastinate when blah, 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 blah happens. You know, you continue, you know, you get kind of, you find ways to distract yourself because of this. Take that time to really sit and be aware of who you are, because I promise you, the more and more you're aware of who you are, it actually opens the door for you to start saying, let me start evaluating my faith. How am I supposed to show up for other people if I have not asked God to really, really come in and show me? Take out anything. How do I know, like what the minister said, how do I know what the definition of goodness is if I do not know what God's moral excellence is? Verse 8 says this, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We just read earlier in verse 3, God has given us everything that we need for living a godly life. Now let's jump back down to verse 8. The more you grow like this, he's referencing verses 5-7. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of your Lord Jesus. Are you productive and useful? How are you serving people? The truth is, weaker faith often hides in patterns. It does. Here comes fear. Here comes anxiety. Here comes all these other things. You're concerned about making a decision. How have you strengthened your faith? How have you said, okay, you know what? When I'm nervous about making a decision, do I go into my own will or do I immediately pray? Or do I go seek wise counsel? Because that's the truth. Our patterns, it really does hide our weak faith, withdrawing from fear, withdrawing from prayer. Maybe now all of a sudden you're not going to church service like you used to. Now all of a sudden you're not praying any of your word like you used to. You're not listening to certain gospel or Christian music like you used to. Or with the things that God has told you to do, now all of a sudden you put that down. Why did you put it down? Why did you stop going? The things that were feeding you, you're stopped doing it. What happened? What is that weak point, right? They talk about ropes and they talk about certain things. And I'm just, this is so random, but it's true. Watching this random video about hair, this woman, she was doing a test. She's a professional stylist. She was doing a test on a hair strands. And she said, you can see here are the weaker points in the hair. And she kept popping it. And she was kind of like pulling apart. She said, you see this? This is the weak point. So if we didn't do this test strand, if I didn't evaluate the hair first, all of her hair would have started breaking off here. So she was like, we need to strengthen her hair first before we give her this dye and all that type of stuff. So it's a regimen. What are you doing to test your weak areas? Have you even asked, Lord, reveal to me my weak areas? So because what happens with something, when we have some weak areas in our faith, now, mind you, the hair, going back to the hair example, the hair was long. From the outside, it looked like it was strong. But the moment she put something else on it that started to change it, that tested it, she said, right here, you see this? This hair right here. All of the strands right here are weak right here. Patterns. What you are doing is actually hiding weak pockets of your faith. I'm not saying that you don't have faith, but where are the areas where you can say, Lord, I need your grace right here because your grace is sufficient. Verse 9 says this, but those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from all their old sins. What does that mean? That means that I don't need to be intimidated by nothing that tries to come in my face, that the enemy tries to say, because I have been cleansed through Christ Jesus. Verse 10 says this. So dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Never fall away. Peter is giving us instructions on how to evaluate our faith based on 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Take time out this week to really, really, really evaluate your faith. Ask God to reveal any weak areas. If you need to, you could start off with this. How many times am I praying a day? After you have prayed, I want you to think about, what did I pray for? Did I pray for God's will? Did I pray for my will? Or was a combination? What were my prayers like? How long did I pray? Go into your word. Okay, I did read my Bible. I listened to the word of God. I listened to a preach message, whatever the case is. Okay, I'll listen to this. Okay, what did I gain from that? Did I implement anything? We have to take time to evaluate where we are and be okay with the Lord revealing and actually ask the Lord. Ask him to reveal any areas of weakness and say, God, I thank you for your strength, where you will strengthen me in that area. You will tell me, you will give me strategy in that area. You will tell me how to walk that out. I pray that you have received something on today. Take time to evaluate your faith. And look, are you stronger? Are you weaker? Are you about the same? Have I grown or have I shrunk? Because it is truth that if you don't feed yourself spiritually, you will become weak and you will be more open and more vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. I want you to think of your faith like a thick wall. When I say thick wall, I'm thinking like the castles. Like the walls were so big back in that time where they said you can put horses and chariots on the top. You know how people will walk it. Think about some medieval movie that you've seen. No, honey, that stuff wasn't thin bricks. It was thick to where they could put horses and chariots and ride that, or people can stand up there. That's how your faith has to be so strong, and you want it to grow in width and height so that the enemy does not have a way to come in. But if you are not maintaining, if you are not growing, if you're not doing things with intentionality to make sure it remains strong and it continues to grow, it will eventually begin to deteriorate. That is just the truth. Take time out to evaluate yourself. We are no longer repeating cycles. We're no longer going back, because why? Jesus Christ did it all for us. God has given us all that we need to live a godly life. Lord, I thank you for this conversation. God, I thank you for what you have done. And God, I thank you for continuing to feed us and continue to give us that desire. Continue to give us that desire to grow in you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, be with us throughout and literally stir up the gifts within us so that we can go out and do the things that you've called us to do, because we want to be useful. We want to be productive. We know that we are your handiwork. That's what your word says. And Lord, let us rest in that, but also let us move in that. And Lord, if anyone's listening to me, they do not know you as their Savior, I ask that they repeat after me. Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died and rose for my sin. Please forgive me of my sins. I repent. If you have said that you are saved, heaven is rejoicing. We are rejoicing. I encourage you to find a church home. All of us find a church home, more than just online, but actually a physical building. And look, be patient with people like you will want them to be patient with you. Find a church that is centered around Christ and love. I love each and every one of you, and I'll speak to you next week.